This is a special issue of the SF Signal podcast. My name is Andrew Liptek. I'm a irregular contributor to SF Signal. And today I have taken over part of the podcast from Patrick, and with the idea of talking about book publicity. With me, I have three publicists from around the science fiction world. How about you guys introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about what you do for which publisher. Leslie?
Hi, I'm Leslie Connor. I work for Apex Publications. I run our social media and I'm their marketing leader. Kind of started as a volunteer position. I'm friends with Jason Sizemore, the owner and publisher, and has grown from there.
Artie?
Yes, my name is Artie Alsbach, and I'm an associate publicist with Tor Books. And prior to that, I was working with Skyhorse Publishing, kind of working on their science fiction through the Nightshade imprint.
And Ellen?
I'm Ellen Wright. I'm senior publicist at Orbit. I also do publicity for our manga and graphic novel imprint, Yen Press, and Red Hook, which does mainstream commercial fiction. I actually started my publishing career in editorial to nonfiction publisher, and I'm thrilled to have made both of those changes. I've been at Orbit for about 3 years now.
Great. So all three of you work in the science fiction field. I guess, are you all science fiction fans to start with, or is this just something you've sort of stumbled into?
Yes, I've always been a science fiction fantasy fan, and I was thrilled to get, even though to get to Orbit and get to work on the kind of books that I really love. I've been reading science fiction since I was 10 years old, which was when my English teacher introduced us to A Wrinkle in Time. I just loved it.
Artie?
I have been reading science fiction and fantasy for a really long time also. I think my first real memory of it was probably around middle school, where I picked up some Mercedes Lackey and just haven't really looked back since. So it's been really great being able to work at Tor. It's kind of my dream job. So
I started out more as a horror fan than science fiction, and my love of science fiction has kind of grown more recently as an adult rather than as a child. So
it's really, for all of you, it's sort of a dream come true to sort of promote the books that you've been reading over the course of your lives.
Definitely.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yes, absolutely.
This is Ellen. I say in my Twitter bio, which I know at least two of you have seen, that my job is to tell people how awesome books are for a living, which really encapsulates what publicity is, and I'm working on the kind of books that I love, so it's great.
So actually, let me jump off of that. And when it comes to promoting books, this is just part of the book publication life cycle. How do you see the promotional process from where you sit? Artie, how about you go first?
Mainly, I think that with publicity, it's one of many ways that we promote books, because there's also marketing and sales, and you know, even editorial has some hand in it. But publicity is mainly there to just get the word out and talk to people and just tell everybody, as Ellen said, how amazing our books are, and kind of go from there and just get people excited about it.
Leslie, you work with a smaller press than either Tor or Orbit. How does that change with your position as a small print?
I think that publicity and marketing and advertising kind of all get pushed together. Like, I mean, it's basically me and Jason Sizemore working directly with the authors and the editors of our anthologies, and that's everybody. Like, I work from beginning all the way through proofreading the book, publicity, marketing, the whole gamut. So I get to see the books at the very, very beginning and all the way through marketing and publicity. So I think that that's probably the biggest difference, is we're there the whole way, rather than it's just like, we have this awesome book at the end.
Ellen, you work for a much, much larger publisher. When do you get involved in the book process?
I get involved fairly early on. I often read manuscripts when we're considering them and give my opinion on, whether I like them, and also whether I think there's a chance that we would get good publicity. As far as the actual publicity work, it's usually about 4 to 6 months before the book is published. I work very closely with our marketing team. I've said before that I think the difference between marketing and publicity is marketing is trying to influence readers directly, whereas I'm trying to influence the people who are influencing the readers. But because we're a fairly small department, I get involved in social media. I also handle our convention activity. So it's the lines blur.
So do any of you guys have books where you get in on the process early, where you really like it, but you find that it's hard to, or it'll be a harder sell or anything like that?
I don't know about having anything that's a harder sell, but there's definitely, I guess just because I'm so excited about the genre and about what's coming up, that, you know, I've made some good relationships within the company with editors, and they let to, you know, so I'm reading some manuscripts now, and I think it really helps in the success, I think, to get excited early on, because, you know, when the time comes to start promoting it, it's just that much easier, I think, to talk about it.
I can give a good example of a book that I got excited about very early on. I read part of the manuscript while we were considering it, and I read the full thing immediately after we acquired it and went to the editor and said, "This is an absolutely great book. We need to do a lot of stuff here." You guys might have heard of this book. It's called Ancillary Justice by Anne Leckie.
Oh, yeah.
So it was great to be involved with that one from the very beginning and know what the book was about and know Anne. It was a real advantage there.
So in some cases, it's not just sort of enticing the editor of the book to like your book, but it's also trying to entice having a book that the marketing team will find it easy to get behind, and other departments within the publisher. So it's less of a trying to appease just one person, but almost a whole company.
That brings up a really interesting issue. Sorry to jump in and answer this question again. People often ask me, do you like the books that you're working on? And of course, I like some of them, and some of them I'm less of a fan of. And I think it definitely is an advantage to be enthusiastic about a book and to have the team enthusiastic about the book. But you have to be able to publicize books that are not your personal cup of tea. That's a really important part of the job. So it's yes and no. I'd love to hear what Leslie and Artie think about this topic, too.
I've definitely promoted books that I was less enthusiastic about. And it makes it a lot harder because I talk to a lot of reviewers and bloggers and stuff, and it's much easier when I'm excited and I'm going to them and I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys got to read this book, you'll love it, than if it's a book that I'm not and I'm trying to scramble to try to find people who I think might enjoy it. And it's harder to wrap your head around that concept of, okay, well, this isn't my book, but who do I know that I can go to? It's much, much easier if it's a book that I'm excited about, because then I think it comes across in your correspondence with them if you're excited. So then they get excited to read it.
Yeah, I think for me, that's probably where the author relationship becomes really important. Just personally, I like to connect with the author and find out, you know, what's interesting about them and how can I pitch the author, as opposed to maybe, you know, the subject of the book. If it's not really working, you know, if the author has some really great stories to tell or is just really interesting, then we can kind of work on that as well. So get some good, you know, blogger interaction or interviews or things like that. So
there are also for me two different kinds of excitement about a book. There's excitement about a book because I read it and I really love it as a fan. And then sometimes there's excitement about a book because I think, even though this isn't exactly what I would want to read on my free time, I can see the possibilities for publicity and I'm excited about going out and finding the right venues for it.
Yes, exactly. I would second that wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
So when you're working with authors directly, what types of things are you telling them as the publicity cycle ramps up? Like, so are you working out with them for trying to match them up with bloggers or reviewers, or are you providing them with instructions on, like, you know, what are some things that you can do on your own channels?
I think it's a little bit of both. You know, coordinating blog tours if that's the case, and finding, you know, bloggers that would match up really well with the author, just having them prep guest posts and interviews and things like that. And if the opportunity arises, sometimes we do events for the author as well.
One of the first questions that I ask any author or editor that we're working with is how willing are you to write guest posts and interviews? Because I normally don't have any problem finding them, but it's how much time do you have? Like, because I can set them up, but if you don't have the time to fulfill them, then I need to know that way ahead of time. So that's the first question I ask them. And then, you know, I set up the reviews usually independently of the authors.
Yeah, I also like to get writers writing essays early on so I can see sort of what their style is, because some authors have a style that's absolutely perfect for blog posts and some are a little more essay-like, especially with some of the mainstream stuff I do. So it's good to see early on what their strengths are when it comes to nonfiction writing and where to place those things. I also like to ask about their own connections, whether it's bloggers or people outside that, reviewers of other sorts, just to be sure that the people who are really fans of them or who they've talked to get copies of the book early on. Although I emailed an author the other day, he's probably going to recognize himself when I say this, and I said, are there any bloggers you want to be sure get your book? And he said, I don't know any bloggers. I said, every author knows bloggers, but apparently there's an exception.
So let's talk a little bit about the publicity cycle. So you mentioned a minute ago that you guys talk to authors early on in the process and a little bit during the editorial side. So what happens that once the author has written the book, it's gone to the editors and it's been fairly polished. What happens then? How does the book go from sitting on the editor's desk to your desk and then out to reviewers, bloggers, and other people who might be reading it early? Leslie, do you want to start?
Sure. With Apex, I normally get the book because I do a lot of our proofreading. So I get it pretty early on and do the proofreading, and then it goes back to the people who do our layout. And it's when it's going in layout is when I start contacting our reviewers. We have, I think, a shorter window of time. It's like, okay, at the moment, I'm waiting on our next book to get it back to start sending it to reviewers. But the book comes out in January. So it's a much shorter time for us. I think that's just the biggest difference, probably.
Artie, how about you guys? What does Tor do?
We usually get the book in advanced reader copy form about 4 to 5 months before publication date. And at that point, we look at what our long lead publications are, like magazines and, you know, the kind of like New York Times Book Review, big reviewers like that, and we just send out the advance reader copies to the trade publications like Kirkus, Publishers Weekly, Library Journal, Booklist, and people like that, and then also to the long leads. And then there's kind of a small break, I guess, where we're starting to plan, but not really doing a lot of activity, but there's a lot of planning going on kind of behind the scenes. And then we send out a larger mailing from the warehouse that goes out to the bloggers and anyone who's requested the book for review, any contacts that the author might have, things like that. And then that's when I kind of implement some of my plans, like, you know, working on the blog tours, setting up any events, things like that. So that would be about a month before pub when that starts.
And Ellen, for over at Orbit, what I typically see from you guys is an ARC copy, usually for the first book of a series, that is done up a little special, and then you ebook advanced copies for other books in the series. How does that figure into what you guys do?
I was going to say what Artie described is pretty much exactly my process, except, as you mentioned, we do digital galleys actually for every book. Some books we only do digital galleys, and it tends to be things where not expecting as much coverage from the long lead publications. If it's the third book in a series, chances are if they weren't interested in the first two, they're not going to start reviewing it then, unfortunately. So we always have print galleys for the first book in a series to try to get as much of that sort of larger conversation as possible. And then we always have, even if we do the print galleys, we'll have digital galleys that I send out to bloggers, as you know, Andrew, a month or two before publication.
So one of the interesting things I've seen with the books that are coming out early is that I'll see the uncorrected proof, which I'm guessing has not gone through copy editing or anything like that. And then sometimes I'll get a follow-up with the proper finished version, like a hardcover or trade paperback.
Mm-hmm.
What is the for major publications that require them a lot longer, is that why you have the uncorrected, just so that they can get an early look at it, and then they can follow up with quotes from the proper version?
Yeah, exactly, because those long lead publications, they're deciding what to cover so far in advance, they need to be able to see what we have and say, okay, this book is newsworthy, we're going to do something about it, and then they can wait and do the final touches with the finished book.
How much scheduling and coordination do you do? Like, do you have a spreadsheet that you map out with each, like, let's say you have a book coming out, let's take Ancillary Justice, for example. So as that was coming out, you had the original advanced copy, and then you had a second mailing. Mm-hmm. Do you have, like, a spreadsheet that you keep track of where you send it and what their plans might be as they tell you, or is it just sort of shooting and seeing what sticks to the wall?
There is a system. It could probably be better. I tend to work on a monthly basis, so, you know, it's December now, so I'm working on long lead pitching for books that are coming out in April, and I'm doing finished copy mailings for books that are coming out in January. I have that schedule hanging at my desk, and it helps me keep track. But we also have a publicity database. I'm sure every publisher has one. We have a proprietary one called PIP, and we keep a list in that of who we've sent a book to, and I'll actually create multiple ones for each book. So, you know, Ancillary Justice Galleys, and I have a list of all the people who got that, and then Ancillary Justice Finished Books, and there's a list of all the people who got the finished copy.
Yeah, it's pretty much exactly the same at Tor.
Yeah, as a book reviewer, it seems like I get a lot of books from Tor, and they're those plain white galleys, or sometimes they're a little bit dressed up, but you know, I'll get a bunch, and I try to look through them all, just because it's, if you guys took the effort to send them, I might as well take a look, and some things I find that I really like, some things I just sort of set aside. What is the strategy when it comes to, like, you know, sending out books widely? Is it just to get as many eyes on them as possible, or do you guys try to target certain people as you get to either know them a bit better, or you know what publications they work for?
As far as Tor goes, we are very specific about who we send our books to, so it's not just, you know, willy-nilly. We have a list, and we kind of refine the list as we get to know each reviewer, which can be hard because there's a lot of people that review books, and we want to make sure we're sending books to the right people. But we do, in our database, we keep notes about, you know, what people like, what people don't like, and kind of what we've learned about them as our relationship with them grows.
Leslie, how does that change for, or how does that affect you as a small press person?
I have a review site spreadsheet that I keep, and then for each book that we have, I go through my master sheet and pick and choose which reviewers I'm going to send which titles, because I have gotten to know and build relationships with certain reviewers. But it's constantly changing. I'm always updating it, looking for new reviewers, taking people off. If we've sent them several books in a row and then I don't hear anything back for them, I'm like, okay, well, obviously I'm hitting the wrong market. So it's always evolving and always changing and always updating.
So what happens on your end if say, like, and I know this has happened to me several times, is I've gotten a book and I've really liked, I've looked the looks of it, and I say, yeah, this one's one I'd like to review, and I read it, and I'm realizing I can't give it a great review, or if I find that it just can't sit on the pile because I've got too much else going on, what happens then? You just I'm assuming there's a little bit of disappointment on your end, but, like, do you guys just sort of move on, or how does that happen on once the books have gone out and you start seeing reviews come in?
Well, obviously I'd love for everybody to love every book I send them. But I know that's not going to happen. And I had one reviewer in particular, he emailed me and he was like, I'm sorry, but I am writing a review and it's not going to be a good review. And I said, and I responded to him and I said, I understand you're not going to love every book you read. And I want you to give us an honest review. And a couple months later, I queried him for another book, and he actually was very surprised that I queried him. And I said, I was like, you have given me several good reviews. I'm not going to take you off my list for one bad review. So obviously you want people to like the books, but you have to be realistic that not every book is going to be right for every person.
And that's the nature of the business. You're going to get more no's than you get yeses, because if every answer was a yes, every book would be reviewed everywhere, and you know, there's not enough room for that. And just as there are readers who like different kinds of books, there are going to be reviewers who like different kinds of books, and that's critical, I think, because if you are the kind of reader who likes one kind of book, you need to find the reviewers who have similar taste to you. And sometimes there is a reviewer who has the opposite taste of me, and if they write a negative review of a book, I'm going to say, oh, I want to check that out. There are reviewers that I work with who have torn apart books that I've worked on, and it's not personal. It's a business, and they're publishing their honest opinions about a book, and that's useful for everyone if they're honest.
Yep, exactly. I can't really add anything else to that. That was really well said. So,
thank you.
So let's shift gears a little bit and talk about some of the channels that you guys use. I know that I've seen the three of you talk quite a bit on Twitter, but I also know that there's other social media sites out there, Facebook, there's Goodreads. How do you guys target those specific channels for your books? Do you watch what people are saying about it on Twitter? Do you look at like what other reviews are saying on Goodreads or Amazon? How does social media figure into all this?
Well, I should note that I'm very active on Twitter, as you said. I also have a Goodreads account. You know, those are all personal accounts. Those are not linked to Orbit. We do have Orbit social media accounts, which are run by Laura Fitzgerald, our great social media person. But for me, Twitter is primarily a way to connect with reviewers. It's not promotional because it's my account. But I've found that it's a great place, especially for bloggers, but for traditional reviewers as well, to get an idea of someone's personality and what they like. And if they see what I'm saying and also get an idea of my personality, it makes it easier to pitch them books.
Yeah, I pretty much use Twitter for the exact same reason. My Twitter is personal, but I'm on there, you know, developing and building relationships with reviewers, trying to discover new reviewers, just seeing who people are talking to and what they're talking about. And I follow my authors on there too, just to, you know, see how they're interacting with the reviewers, in case, you know, somebody asks them for a book and I could easily send it out, then, you know, it's something I want to catch. But as far as Goodreads or Facebook is concerned, I don't really use either of those for that purpose. Those are more personal for me, whereas I keep Twitter, kind of on the more professional side of things. That's just how I work, I guess.
Yeah, in the same way, my Facebook account is very personal, and Twitter is sort of my professional face, even though it is my account and not my publisher's account.
I run Apex's social media sites as well. Like, if you are interacting with the Apex Book Company Twitter account, that's me. So I do promotional, like, push all of the links to our reviews, any giveaways that we're running, any guest posts that any of our authors do. I put all that out through the Apex Book Company Twitter account. And then on my personal Twitter account, I follow a lot of our authors and a lot of our editors and stuff, so that if they come across reviews that maybe I haven't found yet, then I can find them and take them over to the Apex account. As far as Facebook goes, I post all of our things over there, but Facebook is horrible for not being able to actually, like, people don't see it as much. So I'm much more interactive on Twitter. I also set up giveaways, like early reviewer giveaways on Library Thing and on Goodreads, so that our books are out there too, so people can see them before they're actually out.
Cool. So now let's fast forward a little bit to you've put your book through the publicity stage. You've sent its books out to reviewers and bloggers and other interested parties. Day one happens. What does day one look like for a book release for you guys? And I know that there's tons of books that are released on any given month. Typically they come out on Tuesdays. So what does that Tuesday look like for you?
It's kind of funny. I can almost forget what the release date of a book is because so much of my work happens before that. Reviews start coming in a month before at the latest. I've sent out all of the copies at that point. The finished books go out a month before as well. If the author is going on tour, that's usually, of course, when they start going on tour, so I'm involved with that. But otherwise, it's so much of publicity happens in advance, or at least you're priming the pump for it in advance.
Yeah, so I basically spend release day or release week gathering the reviews, because they start publishing around that time. So, and just, you know, making sure everything falls in line, and if there's guest posts going on, that those have been sent out and that they're showing up and things like that.
Typically on release day for us, I am writing up a blog post for the Apex website, sending out newsletters with links to any reviews that we've gotten ahead of time and everything. So that's what we're doing on release day.
So what do you do with the reviews and things that are coming out? Do you send them along to the authors? Is there something that you specifically do with them? Or is there a way that you vet which reviews that you might promote through official channels, like your Facebook, like say Orbit or Tor or Apex's Facebook feeds? Do you basically pick and choose which reviews you'd like to promote, saying, like, go read this, this is a great review of this great book? Or is there, do you just sort of put everything out, or none of the above?
At Tor, we have a tracker for our reviews, and it sends out a weekly, I guess, update to the rest of the company about what's come in. And then I guess our social media team kind of looks at that to get the reviews that they want to promote. And they also check our personal Twitters and the author's Twitters and anything else that they might catch. If someone tweets it at them, then they might retweet it. So the decision making for that, for the social media, happens with that team. It's not part of what the traditional publicists are doing at Tor. Yeah, and so the editors also see the reviews that come out of that report, and sometimes for really particularly good ones, we'll send them directly to the editor right away. And I think for the most part, the editor handles sharing some of these reviews with the author, and a lot of the times the authors, you know, they're way on top of it before. I mean, we see them pretty much at the same time they do, because they've probably set up Google alerts for themselves or just are really savvy at the internet.
There's definitely a sort of tier of reviews for me, because you have online and blog reviews, and then you have print reviews. And like Artie said, authors find blog reviews usually before I do. So I don't often send those unless it's something particularly notable. If it's a really well-written review and I want to be sure they've seen it, I send that along. But I'm also always communicating with authors when we get in print reviews, because they probably wouldn't be aware of those otherwise. And that's all as I see it, I send it along to them. So it's not so much on release day. But it is really important to communicate reviews to the rest of the company too, which is something that I do sometimes a week before pub, sometimes on the pub date, because then, you know, the salespeople who are getting bookstores to stock the book know that, say, the New York Times just reviewed our books, and that means that the bookstores need to get more copies in.
Yeah, it's the same at Tor. We definitely send the big print reviews out to our sales team and to the rest of the company, so everyone's on top of things. And yeah.
So one of the things I've always sort of been curious about is what do you find are the most effective channels for selling books? So obviously a New York Times designation is quite important for any given book. But are there specific websites or blogs or publications that you find are help move the most copies, if you're able to say that, or say which?
One of the most frustrating things about publicity is it's really hard to track what is selling books, especially because so much of the publicity happens around the publication date, which means, you know, you might have 5 reviews on one day and it sells really well that day, but which one of those 5 is the one that caused that? It's really hard to tell. But definitely major print reviews sell copies. The New York Times sells copies. Entertainment Weekly does, NPR. And I think there's also a lot of value to having not necessarily one specific blog talking about a book, but having a bunch of people talking about it and creating the perception. Well, it's not a perception, making it true that everyone is talking about a book. That makes it more interesting, I think, to readers.
Yeah, if it goes viral kind of across the blogosphere, and you know, if everyone starts talking about a book, then I think it starts to get picked up that way, for sure.
Yeah, my goal was to try to get it may be smaller venues, I don't think that we have ever gotten an Apex book at New York Times, but I try to get smaller venues. If we can get a review on IO9, that's pretty good for us.
Oh, yeah, IO9sells books like crazy. I love them.
Yeah. So that's kind of always the one that I'm like, all right, who do I know at IO9 that I can contact about this book? But, yeah, I try to get smaller places to try to keep chatter, especially on Twitter and stuff.
We just got our first New York Times review this year, and I can't shut up about it, so that's why I keep mentioning the Times.
Which book was that for?
Ancillary Storm, which is the sequel to Ancillary Justice.
Oh, okay. From talking with authors, I've heard that there's a lot is made of the first book being released, like your debut novel or the first book in a series might sell the most out of the whole, you know, it might outsell your second book and your third book just because of how it trails off. Do you find that that's true?
We can't really speak to sales numbers as far as publicity goes. It is a little bit harder to get coverage for a second or third book in a series.
I guess that's what I was sort of referring to, I guess.
Yeah.
Not, rather than sales, but I guess chatter.
Yeah. I mean, I think if the first book or the second book was really successful and people were talking about it, then it's kind of easy to drum up excitement for the next one in the series coming out in those situations, but that's not always the case, especially if there's a long time between the books. It can be a little bit harder. One thing I personally try to do is send out more copies of the first book just to remind people of what was there before and how awesome it was, and now maybe you want to check out the second one and talk about it.
I think the trajectory is with the series is always going to go either down or up. It's rare for it to stay the same, but for example, I am confident that A Dance with Dragons got a lot more publicity coverage than A Game of Thrones did, because that series has just gotten so much more popular. So there certainly are series that each book gets more and more coverage and sells more and more, but the other direction is probably more common.
That's sort of the blockbuster effect,
yeah.
Especially and with Game of Thrones specifically, there's a lot of a lot of hype about the television series and things like that. A little bit of a side note, Ellen, you have and your publishers are covering or have been promoting Leviathan Wakes and the Expanse series.
Mm-hmm.
I guess how are you anticipating that will change, or what are you guys preparing for now that you guys have your own television series that's about to jump off next year?
I don't think we really know quite what to expect. Of course, I hope it sells more books. That series is actually a good example of an upward trajectory, because the third book was the first one that hit the New York Times bestseller list. So the first one did quite well, but by the time we got to book three, it was increasing in interest. Yeah, I hope that it gets a lot more people reading the books. I think even bad adaptations often get people reading the books, and it sounds like this one is not going to be bad by any stretch of the imagination. So hopefully people will be really enthusiastic about the series. I'm just looking forward to seeing the book that I've lived with for so many years on TV.
Are you guys planning ahead and like starting to look at how you guys might start promoting Leviathan Wakes as the TV show comes closer, or is that something that you guys will not be involved in at all?
I'm involved in conversations about it. There probably won't be a great deal that I'll be doing differently, at least in the early stages, because they're adapting the first book and the fifth. No, sorry. Yes, the fifth book will be coming out next year. I think a lot more will happen once we know when the show is going to premiere, because right now they don't have a specific date. And, you know, it might be a tie-in edition. It might be having the authors do more events. I don't know what it'll look like right now.
So, and I'm sort of jumping off from television, and I've seen copies of letters that you guys send out with the book. Usually, for those of you who don't get review copies, you get a book, and usually there is a folded piece of paper in there that has some quotes, has a plot, it might have the cover image, and it's usually addressed to either dear reviewer, producer, do you guys send out a lot of things to Hollywood producers, or is there another segment of, in addition to reviewers, that you send out?
It depends on the book. I don't send a lot of books to, certainly not to Hollywood producers, but TV show hosts for sure. Radio hosts get copies some of the time, if it's the kind of book that it seems like they would be interested in.
Yeah, it's basically the same at Tor.
And that's, I was actually going to say in response to an earlier question, but I didn't get in there, so I'll say it now. I think the key skill of publicity is figuring out who is going to be interested in the book. I think some people think the job is you put together a big mailing list, you send out a bunch of books, and then reviews magically appear. But you really have to be able to judge not just specific people, but sort of how broad and how mainstream reviewers react, whether they'll be interested in something specifically for science fiction and fantasy. Some books are only going to be interesting to genre readers, and some have the potential to break out. So figuring out what the scale of your mailing is and the scale of your pitching, that's I think, the essence of publicity.
Yeah, I think it probably involves being a people person more than anything else.
Yes.
You have to be a good writer. Yeah, you have to be a good writer, of course, because you're writing pitches a lot. But then developing the relationships, I think, is probably the most important thing.
And I know Leslie and I have personally worked together because she's been promoting the anthology. J.M. Gates and I worked on War Stories, and I know that there's been a lot of sort of back and forth with us providing ideas for people to possibly to send reviews to, and her asking us about you know, guest columns or interviews and things like that. Leslie?
Yeah, there is a lot of back and forth in trying to figure out who to send certain books to and who to ask, like, do you want to write a guest post for this particular website? Because if it's not a website that is going to be interested in military sci-fi, then there's no point in having you wait, you know, take the time to write a post for there. So it is a lot of trying to figure out who's going to be interested. And also, I mean, so many books come out, you have to really find a way to make the book interesting to reviewers and stuff. So
that's actually a really good point. One of the things I've been doing the past year or so is on BuzzFeed, I'll put together a list of what books catch my eye, and after a little bit of research. And usually what I do is I'll pull in the materials that I get from, actually each of you have sent me stuff. So now I get, this is the fight round, is how do you guys compete with one another for attention? Because I know that some of my lists, we get 30 or 40 books that are coming out on any given month. That, you know, that's more than enough to read. So how do you sort of jockey for position to get the best, you know, you must read this book rather than this book?
I don't think it really is direct competition, because what could we do? We're not going to say, you know, hey, Andrew, stop reading Tor's books. It's really just doing what we've already talked about, figuring out what's interesting about a book, who will be interested in reading it, just doing that the best we possibly can, and hoping that they will decide their book is the one they want to cover.
Yeah, I don't really feel like there's a ton of competition. It's more like we're all in this together, and we're all trying to, you know, have the same end goal of getting the books out there and getting everyone excited about science fiction and fantasy in general, and just hoping that we've targeted the right people.
Yeah, that's especially true, I think, in genre fiction, that the real struggle for us is not competing against each other's books. It's competing against mainstream books that have bigger marketing pushes and are more likely to get on TV and in the big newspapers. It's competing against movies and TVs. It's saying, hey, science fiction and fantasy literature is important and you should pay attention to it. And that's something that's a message that we all benefit by.
I guess my last question is one along the lines of what do you tell authors to do to promote themselves, and what are some of the best ways you found to get books into the hands of people that you really like to do them? And I guess this is sort of a two-part question, is do you ever sort of leave your job? Do you find yourself in a bookstore, and do you turn your own books out so that more people will see them? Is there anything that you sort of tell authors that as sort of best practices, what do you do to, you know, pitch your book and promote your book and get it out there? I guess this is sort of the self-help section of the podcast, where, you know, if any authors out there are listening, what can they do to sort of improve their relationships with readers?
I think a lot of what we advise authors to do is more on the marketing side. It's, you know, here's how you manage your social media. Maybe here's one of the lines I've been using to pitch your book. But as far as advice that I would give to authors, the number one thing I would say is always communicate with your publicist. Because sometimes I find out after the fact that an author was traveling and could have done events, or I find out, you know, that they know an editor at the New York Times and they didn't get a copy of the book because I didn't know that. It doesn't matter how unimportant you think it is. I am happy to read and delete emails if they're not relevant to me, but I just want to know everything that's going on.
Yeah,
I would agree with that. having knowledge of, okay, even things as simple as, okay, give me a list of local libraries to use so that I can send them your press release if you're interested in going into your local libraries. Because it would be impossible for me at a distance to research places that you think would be interested without you telling me. So I think that's one of the things is, yeah, communicating what they think are possibilities. Because I'm more than willing to put in the work to send out press releases to contact places if an author says, I think this is something we should look into. So yeah, communication's key.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. And in addition to that, I would probably tell an author to figure out a way to become engaged a little bit more in the community at large, because I think that authors talking to each other, they can kind of get some ideas from each other. Definitely talking to their publicists, absolutely. And just, you know, seeing what's out there, what's the competition doing, what's going on Twitter, what are the blogs saying, like, how can I involve myself a little bit more in the community so that I know what's going on also. So I think being on top of that, in addition to just telling your publicist anything and everything you think is relevant, is probably, I would say, the best practices.
That actually reminded me of another piece of advice that I often give authors, and if there are any Orbit authors listening to this, this is advice I would give you. You'd never know. I don't think there's any one thing in book publishing that is critical when it comes to marketing and publicity. Obviously, writing a good book, you know, you have to do that. You never know what the thing is going to be that's going to take off. So if someone tells you, you have to be on Twitter, you have to have a website, that's not right. If you don't know how to do those things, if you don't enjoy them, there are other things you can do. But find out what it is about marketing and publicity that you enjoy doing it. Do it as authentically and enthusiastically as you can. And that is just likely to be the thing that makes your book take off, as, you know, going to 10 bookstores, or it could be anything.
Right, exactly. I think people really respond to authors who are genuine and enthusiastic, and whatever medium, I guess, highlights that the best is probably the one you should go with.
And it's hard to be genuine if you're doing something because you feel like you have to. If someone told you, you have to be on Twitter, but that's not a natural medium for you, you're not going to come across well. And right. So you shouldn't put your energy there. You should put it somewhere else that's more productive.
Exactly.
Cool. So I guess to wrap up, what from each of you, what books are you excited for that is coming out soon? We'll put your publicity skills to the test. So, you know, 2015 is coming up as of the time that we're recording this. So, Leslie, what do you have coming up that we should keep an eye out for?
In January, Apex has Brian Keene's new novel, The Lost Level, coming out. It's a Lost World adventure novel. It's very cool. I really enjoyed it. And then in March, we have Damian Angelica Walter's short story collection, Sing Me Your Scars, coming out. So, and Damian's short fiction is very, very good, so I'm very excited for that.
Cool. Ellen, what do you have coming up?
So I'm going to jump ahead a bit because right now I'm doing my reading for our spring-summer list next year, and there are two books on that list that I've read that are absolutely fantastic, and I can't wait to start working on them beyond just telling people that I think they're fantastic. The first one comes out in April. It's an epic fantasy called A Crown for Cold Silver. The author's name is Alex Marshall. This is not a name you've seen before, although this is not a debut. It's an epic fantasy about their... let's say 30 years ago, I don't know the exact time period, there were five villains who worked together, and they have broken up and gone their separate ways, and their leader, who is a female mercenary, they think she's dead. And it's a story of her seeking vengeance against an old enemy, getting back together with her old cronies, but now that 30 years have passed, they're all cranky and older, and they've all had lives apart from each other for 30 years. So it's a fun, action-filled, epic fantasy with interesting characters, and it's unlike almost anything I've ever read before. Absolutely loved it. The second one is an author that most of you listening to this will probably be familiar with, Kim Stanley Robinson. His new book coming out over the summer is called Aurora. And this is a story of a generation ship, people on a generation ship. And the story actually starts about 170 years into the voyage. It's obviously not the first generation of people who have been on the ship. They are approaching the planet that they're planning to colonize. So it's a very unusual generation ship story. There, even if you think you know what that genre is going to do, there will be surprises for you in this book.
Cool. And Artie, what about you?
Well, in January, we have a couple of really good ones. The Whispering Swarm by Michael Moorcock, The Just City by Joe Walton, which I think is getting a lot of buzz. Everyone seems to be very excited about that. The Providence of Fire by Brian Staveley, which is his second book in his Unhewn Throne series, which I think...
I'll throw a plug in for that. I'm reading it right now, and it's really quite a lot of fun.
Oh, awesome. Excellent. And then we also have a debut by W.C. Bowers. It's called Unbreakable. That one's really interesting if you're into space opera-type military science fiction. And it's got a female protagonist, and she reminds me a lot of Starbuck from Battlestar Galactica. So if that's your thing, I highly recommend that one. And then Greg Van Eekhout's follow-up to California Bones is coming out, and that's Pacific Fire. So that's, I think, most of January. And then personally, I'm also really excited about The Eterna Files, which is kind of a Victorian steampunk detective horror mystery conglomeration, but it's awesome. It's Liana Renee Heber, and that's going to come up in February, and I'm really excited about that. And kind of jumping along the same lines as Ellen, I'm actually reading a manuscript right now that won't come out until fall of 2015, but I'm really excited about it. It's called Updraft, and it's by Fran Wild. It's another debut, but it's just totally taking my breath away. I'm just really excited about it.
I've been seeing very good things as well, and
yeah.
I know Fran, and I've read some of her stuff, so that's pretty exciting.
Yes.
And Unbreakable is also, I actually just finished my review for that a couple weeks ago.
Oh, excellent.
That's going to be going to Lightspeed in January, and that's a lot of fun to read.
Oh, yeah, that's a really fun book, so, yeah.
I have to jump in and add one more. Already mentioning the fall season made me think of this, because I haven't finished reading this one yet, but I've started it. The new N.K. Jemisin novel is coming out in August. It's called The Fifth Season. She hasn't had a new book out since, I think, The Killing Moon was in 2012, although don't quote me on that. And I'm really, really excited about this one. But I don't know how it ends yet.
Cool. Well, lots of good books coming out next year, that's for sure. So I guess we will wrap it up there. Thank you very much for coming out and chatting with us. And,
thank you, Andrew.
Thanks.
Yes, thank you.
All right. You've been listening to SF Signals Podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Hugo Award-winning SF Signal Podcast. Your host is Patrick Hester, an author, a blogger, and a functional nerd. His website is www.atfmb.com, which stands for All Things From My Brain. ATFMB is also his Twitter handle and where you can find him on Facebook. Our podcast is available for download every week at sfsignal.com or via iTunes. Look for the links to subscribe in the sidebar at sfsignal.com or search SF Signal in iTunes. If you enjoyed this podcast, please tell your friends and have them tell their friends and so on and so on. Visit the Hugo Award-winning sfsignal.com for all of your speculative fiction needs. John D. and the SF Signal regulars offer up new content every day, from weekly mind melds featuring your favorite authors, editors, and artists from the SF&F field, to book reviews, original articles and essays, fiction deals, movie reviews, videos, links and roundup posts, and more. Click the RSS button in the sidebar of your browser to ensure you never miss a post. The SF Signal podcast is powered by the Functional Nerds.
Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?
Angry robot.
It's like talking to a child.
Magic wooey.
Wah, wah.
Thinking and crap.
And scene.